All right, welcome to No Better Time. This is Phil Salter, and I'm so excited about this episode with Carrie Judd, who is a musician, filmmaker, documentarian, a documentary maker, and also a photographer who was the mentor to me learning more about real estate photography at least a couple of years ago or more. And it's such a good conversation. He's in the middle of preparing to go to Iceland to do this one ring or this one road that's like 810 miles on an electric skateboard. This all came about from a lot of tragedy in his life and a lot of hard times during 2020, where he had both of his parents pass away and his dog or his cat, I believe, die. And all kinds of terrible things happened. Lost his job, and he decided to bounce back and say, what can I make of this? And he started riding this skateboard, and then he realized he wanted to do something more with it. And that's where this documentary is coming from. He's about to go to Iceland, and he talks about it. So I don't want to spoil too much of it, but if you listen, you'll be able to hear his awesome story. And I'm really excited for you to hear it. I want you guys to engage with me and ask questions by emailing me at nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com, or you could even go to anchor.fm/nobettertime, and you can leave voice messages there or other types of messages. Please subscribe and rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen if there's an option to review. And honestly, if you could tell a friend about this podcast, if you feel like it's benefited you in any way, that would be super helpful. I recently had an episode last Wednesday where I talked about kind of my update to my investing strategy, and I talked about potentially staking in Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency using a service called ShareStake. That same day, I learned that ShareStake was actually basically one of the developers of that protocol ended up stealing like $500,000 worth of the Ethereum funds and taking off, and it's kind of fallen apart, and everyone started ditching it, and that made me feel like, really made me feel like, wow, I can't believe that that happened and that I was this close, literally that day, considering going and putting money into it. So really be careful with this stuff more than ever. So I don't know that I'm going to be doing that anytime soon. I probably will just take whatever I was going to put into Ethereum and probably put that into that Vanguard fund I was talking about. If you're wondering what I'm talking about here, you can go listen to episode 31, where I talk about my update to my investing strategy. But hope you, and please listen, hope you enjoy my conversation with Carrie Judd. Welcome to No Better Time, a financial journey with me, Phil Salter, as I learn about finances and investing. Join me and we can grow together towards a bright financial future, because there's no better time than the present to get moving on your financial goals. All right, welcome to No Better Time. This is Phil Salter. I'm here, so excited to be here with Carrie Judd, someone that we connected with on Facebook at least two or three years ago, at least. Mm-hmm. We have a mutual connection, Todd, yeah. Bowerly, who kind of made you aware of my real estate photography, and you kind of gave me some feedback. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You took the time, which really meant a lot to me. Oh, go ahead.
It was nice.
I hope you're very nice about it. But you also were direct, which I appreciated. Which was great. Which could be hard, you know, if you're a little too precious about what you do. You might not be in a mental place sometimes to get that feedback, but you even gave me examples of some of my images and you made changes. And I was like, I've utilized what you taught me every time since I've done a photo shoot. So it's been hugely important to me. And it meant so much to me that someone like you would take the time to do that. And you just like, we had a back and forth for a bit there on like Messenger. And I was like, wow, I can't believe he's just giving me all this information and time. So that's something that really impressed me about you. And it's put you obviously in a very high place in my mind. It's a lot of respect and appreciation for you. So as I've seen you kind of posting things and doing things, you know, on social media, it always caught my eye since then. Could you kind of, and the thing that stood out to me recently, well, actually, I was going to ask you a question that I've been trying to ask people, Carrie, is because the premise of my podcast is it all started with me wanting to like take risks and learn things that kind of intimidated me. And that can go a lot of places. And one of the places that intimidated me was learning about budgeting. Well, not budgeting, but like investing and like growing wealth. And one of the things I wonder about with everyone, like, what was your relationship to money when you were a child? And has it evolved over the years, or how has it evolved?
Well, my relationship to money when I was a kid, I went after it very early on. I had some good friends in the street I grew up on. We were probably around 6 or 7 years old when we had this idea. And the neighborhood where I grew up was surrounded by just open space. And so they were developing it. And me and two of my buddies thought, you know what, let's go start a lemonade stand where they're starting to develop, where these construction workers are. And they were and they started coming down to us. This is on a main road. I know it sounds like a lemonade stand. It sounds like, you know, some kids just out in the front yard. We we went over a couple blocks. We set up the stand. We started with lemonade, and the construction workers would come down and it'd be like, you know, 25 or 50 cents a thing. And they'd be like, well, how much to fill up my thermos? And we'd be like, okay, well, that's $1.50. And so these 3-7-year-old kids were pulling in, you know, $30-$40 a day, and then blowing it that afternoon, going down to the arcade in the afternoon or the donut shop or just doing whatever we wanted. And then the second summer we did it, we got serious. I mean, I don't know how serious you can be with a lemonade stand at seven, but I remember we started thinking, well, if we expanded, there's some things we could do. We could go buy a brownie mix and make a pan of brownies and see how that does. And right away, like, we would sell out of the brownies like first thing in the morning. And so for me, it's always been, especially where we live in, you know, the US with capitalism and everything. If you have an idea, there's just 100 ways to succeed, I think. And that was from a very early age. And I think that was from my mom having her own business and running her own business and using her very specific skill sets. And that's kind of just bled over. I think in most of my adult life, I just turned 45 a few months ago. And I think maybe 5 years of that, I've had an actual job where I had a boss. So,
wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that's really cool.
My relationship with money is that, and money doesn't equal stuff or, money equals freedom. It buys you time to do things that you care about.
Yeah.
And that's always been my attitude, I think, from a very early age.
Oh, for sure. And that's something I'm realizing too, is the more I can get in control of money, the more I can make choices with my time and do the things that I feel are most valuable. So it's not that money makes or buys happiness, but it gives you the power to make choices for sure. That's really cool. Cause you think about like lemonade stand, what's more cliche than that? And you could say, it kind of is another proof of all the abundance in the it shows you more proof of the abundance in the world around us, that even a lemonade stand, if you do it well and you find the right place to do it, it's gonna be successful. Like, you didn't have to necessarily dig super deep to think of the most creative thing in the whole world. It was just a good idea that worked. That's something that I'm starting to realize, is like, there's opportunities everywhere, you know, it's just all around us. And that doesn't surprise me though about you, that you started so young with that attitude, because it seems like you're always doing things. Like, you've been a musician, and I've listened to your music. I really like it. You've been a photographer, a cinematographer, and that kind of leads into something that you're doing right now, which is really amazing. You're in the midst of creating a documentary called 828 or 828, I guess. I don't know how you would say it. Can you talk about that and what led you to that? What led you to that and kind of?
One thing that I think probably, if you let it, will bring on a lot of inspiration is burnout and failure. And I was kind of tired of juggling, you know, commercial clients. And then now I'm over here, you know, I was doing all kinds of different things. I was doing some sort of documentary research for Honda. And then I was doing commercials. I was working on commercial shoots for like auto manufacturers and Blue Cross. And then, and making my own fun short films in the meantime to sort of build my portfolio as a cinematographer. And then in the last year, I kind of started burning out on it. And I mean, 2020, I can't say that my 2020 was any worse than anyone else's, but it just got worse and worse as time went on, and I just didn't feel like doing anything. And so I think that sort of burnout led to me having this idea that I was going to go to Iceland with an electric skateboard and ride all the way around the ring road, which is 828 miles. And a lot of other things fed into that. I think you're aware of some of it. In April, my mom passed away, which was rough. You know, the pandemic was going on along with a really vicious election. And then, let me remember the sequence of events. My mom passed away in April. The morning of her funeral, about a week later, I got a call that a friend of mine had taken his own life.
Wow.
A few months later, I lost my job. One of the jobs I've had as an adult. And then I was a creative director for a company here in Boise. And then my cat got killed by a car in August. I shouldn't be laughing, but humor is my armor.
Well, we can't judge how anybody processes these things, right?
That's the whole premise of this. And the bottom dropped out for me when my dad passed away a few days before Christmas. And so it was like, I had this money and a little bit of money in savings. My parents left me a little bit of a nest egg, but I kind of just moved that over into investments to not really mess with. And I just thought, what can I get motivated to do? And I had an electric skateboard, and this is in winter in Boise, which isn't a terrible winter, but it's pretty chilly. And one day I just decided I was going to go out and ride it. And then that was like the only thing that was getting me out of the house. And so I upgraded to a bigger one with more range, and then upgraded again, and then started talking to my friend Drew, who's going to be directing the documentary. And I was like, what about if Iceland opens up? Like, would you want to go do that? And he was like, absolutely, let's go do that. And so that's sort of been it's like you said, you can't judge how anyone grieves. And this is my way of working through it.
It's amazing. I mean, that the thing that comes up, in fact, I recorded an interview with Todd, our mutual connection, Todd Bowerly, just yesterday. And one of the things he said that really stands out to me is that sometimes, you know, what makes us change, right? What's the catalyst that gets us to make a big move or go for that thing that is a risk or just that we've been wanting to do, or make us aware of an opportunity? Is sometimes a lot of pain and a lot of failure or different things that kind of acts as the catalyst. Sometimes it doesn't always need to be that, but it seems to be many times that like really hard times lead to really big changes. It's like another example, I remember my wife telling me she learned because she danced, she did study ballet in college. This idea of sometimes we feel like we're moving backwards and we're losing ground, but that's really, if we're in a slingshot, it's like the pressure is building and we're about to be launched forward to places we never even expected or thought we could be. That seems to be kind of what happened with you here. Yeah. And I'm really sorry about all the tragedy that happened to you. That's like a really, really rough time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a lot in a short period of time. And I think I already knew that I needed to change. Yeah. I needed to lose that job. I think my only regret was not leaving on my own terms. You know, they just started scaling back, and I was a creative director, but very little of the job was creative. So I was very unhappy. So it was, as I was walking out the door, I didn't think, oh, that was a blessing in disguise. It was just a blessing.
you saw that pretty for what it was right then. Hey, this is better for me. Because sometimes we don't realize that until retrospect, right? But
we'll be right back. And now back to the show.
And that's the thing too, is sometimes I think one of my bigger weaknesses is that I'm slow to make big decisions. And so I'll be very passive. And so it was kind of it was just a blessing. And I knew at the minute, I was getting in my car to go home.
So then it sounds like you're still planning this whole experience of going to Iceland, right? It looks like you've been doing a lot of training because it's a very physically difficult thing. Like you'd mentioned recently on Facebook, people think, oh, what's so hard? You're standing on that longboard. It's like, no, imagine skiing down the hill all day or something, right? You're saying.
Yeah. Imagine you pull off the lift and you come around the corner and that ski run is 100 miles long. You're going to have a different attitude about it.
Yeah.
So, and it's not heavy cardiovascular, but it's like I'm doing a 4-hour leg workout pretty much. And
it's amazing.
It's kind of been fun though, because I've needed to get in shape, and like my leg muscles have just turned into like nuclear missiles, and they're just like hard, and it just feels like it feels good to have that kind of agility. I mean, I'm 45. Mm-hmm. I should be on the decline right now, and I'm approaching as good of shape as I've ever been in. So
that's the thing. It's never like my name of my podcast is No Better Time, meaning no better time than the present to do something. And you could say, oh, man, if I would have thought of this 10 years ago when I was 35, you know, no, man, let's do it now. This is the time.
Mm-mm.
Nothing to, yep. you know, nothing to stop yep. you.
I would, and that's the thing. That's the great thing about age is you do gain wisdom with age. And I know I'm not 60, I'm not 75, I'm not like a wise old man, but like I can cut through the crap a lot faster and know, okay, this is a good idea. This isn't a good idea. This has a better chance of succeeding mm-hmm. or this doesn't. And that's the nice thing that comes with age. And I'm just, yeah, fortunately I haven't had any major injuries or anything that's slowing me down.
That's awesome. So what would you say so far, as you've been training and planning, and I'm sure there's a lot of logistics around preparing for the trip itself and mm-hmm. where you're going to go and the whole process, but what things would you say you've been learning during this process of training physically or of planning or moving forward with the idea that maybe there's things you're surprised you've learned or maybe things, I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is where you want to go with this, but one of the things that's really surprised mm-hmm. me that I've learned is these boards, when you get into the big boards that you can get, you know, 40, 50, 100 miles range out of, which is what I'm riding now. These are not Toyotas. These are Ferraris. So every so many miles you have to go through and make sure everything's tight, everything's synced up the right way, your gear drive and everything. So I've actually been learning a lot of basic engineering and electrical engineering stuff, which is not something I've never, you know, spent any time around. I never even worked back when I was a musician. I never even worked on my own guitars. And so learning that has been really, that's been really like a surprise skill set that I'm starting to build. And I've got a long way to go, but once we're in Iceland, I can't call a friend to come, you know, do some soldering mm-hmm. for me. I've had to learn how to do all of these things and how to just maintain a piece of electrical engineering, which has been really kind of cool. It's been a nice surprise, and I was very intimidated by it. But after I started getting some grease on my fingers, I was like, this is cool. Like I'm to the point where I could like modify a board or, you know, just go into the speed controller inside, which is like a small computer, and set my own settings for my acceleration speed and, you know, put a limiter on my top speed so I don't do anything stupid and, yeah, things like that. So that's been one thing that I've really, really enjoyed about the process and something new that I've learned.
Oh, that's so relevant actually, because this idea of, I'm sure it's been really empowering for you to learn this new skill or these new things that maybe previously you would have thought, oh, I'm probably no good at that kind of thing. We can surprise ourselves. Yeah. We can really, if we put in the time and we have the right enough motivation, we can learn all kinds of things we never thought we were capable of. And so it's got to feel really empowering and be really, and that's going to translate into other areas of your life, I'm sure, as you take on other challenges. It's like, hey, I have enough evidence from my previous experiences that even though it seems like I have no idea how to install a toilet, for instance, I can find this out and do it, or, you know, whatever, you know, that's a weird example, but because I need to install a toilet in my bathroom.
especially mm-hmm. in this day and age, you know, my older sister's just started restoring this house, and she's learning all these things, you know, and she's here, you know, telling me all this stuff about real estate and what happens in drywall and the order that the framing, the electric and the drywall go in and things like that. And she's got a few years on me even. And I think that's what keeps you happy to be alive is continuing to progress and learn mm-hmm. new things. And I know it sounds like such a cliche platitude, but as long as you're learning and growing, like you're still alive. It's when you stop and give up that and just, you know, clock in and clock out for 40 hours until you're 65 that you probably, you know, you're sleeping in a coffin at that point.
Yeah. You don't want to wait until you're that age to think that's when I start living my life. You know, you want to be living your life now.
Yeah.
And so that's something I'm learning. It's because, like I said, this whole podcast thing has evolved, and these are skills and things that translate to like how we make money, but it doesn't have to be just about mm-hmm. making money. That could be a byproduct or could be unrelated even, but learning how to find our passions and grow.
Yeah. If money is your number one motive, that's going to get, that just seems really disappointing. Like you can do better than that. You can have a bigger motivator mm-hmm. than money. I think that's always been my thought. So, and again, it's money is freedom, and that's where money comes into play for me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seems like if you're following passions, it's not far behind that there's going to be some kind of payoff. And it's not always going to be exactly in a bunch of money, but yeah, that's not unrelated either. So yeah, totally. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this, and I can't wait. And what's the timeline? Oh, go ahead. You're going to say something else, maybe.
We leave for Iceland on July 28th, and that gives me 11 days to skate 828 miles, and then we'll be back August 13th, 12th or 13th, I think. And then from there, we're going to jump right into editing. So we want to have a finished cut by the end of the year. And then Drew, who's directing it, Drew Garcia, he's represented through APA, he has a Hollywood agent. So from there, we're going to go to shopping it to Netflix and Hulu and HBO and all the streaming services. And we hope to be ready to have a finished product in hand, ready to shop by end of the year.
That's fantastic. As I was going to say, I mean, that's just part of it, filming it, doing it, but then all the editing and like getting those deals in place. So yeah, it's going to be some time, but I'm really excited for when I can watch this on whatever platform it's on. It's going to be really amazing. And of course, I'm going to brag to everyone that I knew this guy and I interviewed him before I even went to Iceland. Iceland's got some place I really want to go. It's such a beautiful place. But well, if people wanted to learn
everyone who owns a camera wants to go.
Yeah, that's true. If people want to learn more about this project or other things that you're a part of or in the past, like your music or other things, where can they find you?
They can Google my name. It's probably the easiest way.
Yeah.
For the 828 documentary, we have an Instagram page that's just 828 documentary. And then my personal Instagram page, which is just Cary Judd. Either one of those, you're going to see a lot of what's going on behind the scenes.
Cary and then
Cary Judd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct.
Excellent. Yeah. So check him out. Check out, because he does have a trailer right now for the documentary. And I'm sure you're posting, I'm seeing a lot of these clips that you post on Facebook because we're friends there. But obviously, for people who aren't your friend on Facebook, I'm sure it's on Instagram and all those things as well. In fact, I need to go follow your Instagram right now.
Yeah, Instagram's the best channel.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that right away. And but on YouTube, I believe, is where you posted the trailer for this. A teaser of your...
Yeah, that was just a daily from training. And that's on Ice Cream Entertainment YouTube channel. That's Drew and his brother Nate's YouTube channel.
Excellent. Yeah, so look for that coming out. But check that out in the meantime. And you can get some pieces of that as it's coming together through those channels, like we said. I want to thank you again just for the time you've given me. It's something I've been really excited and just really grateful that you put aside this time to talk with me about this. And just these ideas of seizing the day, taking risks. Like, this is all related, like I said.
Yeah.
The premise is learning finances, but dude, it's all related if we want to be successful.
It's all related, yeah.
All right, well, thanks so much. You have a great day.
You bet.
Thanks for listening. You can support the No Better Time podcast by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and selecting the support button. But the best support you can give is by listening and engaging. I want to hear from you. Send your thoughts, questions, and topic ideas to nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voice message by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and clicking the message button just below the podcast description. Please subscribe wherever you listen and rate and review if that's an option. Check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube by searching No Better Time Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe there as well. And if this episode would help someone, don't forget to share it with them and let them know about the podcast.